A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out! And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our coming Redeemer. Amen. Waiting can sound so passive and so boring, maybe even a little defeatist. If I say I am waiting, the word waiting just kind of hangs there. I'm waiting. Waiting for what? I don't know. I've been waiting for so long, I forgot what I'm waiting for. Waiting can easily feel like just not doing anything. I remember my first Advent with you 7 years ago, wondering how are we going to inhabit and try to love this season of doing nothing. We're just waiting, right? So I went to Merriam-Webster, which gives three initial definitions of wait. And sure enough, the first definition of to wait is to stay in a place until an expected event happens, until someone arrives, until it is your turn to do something, etc. That's pretty passive. Stay in a place until it is your turn to do something. It's not my turn to do something. I'm going to wait until it is. Nothing I can do here. And that is life a lot of times. It can be boring. And it seems that even the writer of this dictionary entry was bored too, because the first definition of wait ends with etc. The lexicographer got tired of waiting to see how that definition would turn out. So it just ended with until it is your turn to do something, etc. A second dictionary entry for wait is to not do something until something else happens. A passive kind of waiting is more explicit here, to not do something until something else happens. You hold off on any action until some other event takes place. This kind of waiting implies really limited human agency. This waiting is defined by the things that you're not doing right now. Finally, a third definition of to wait is to remain in a state in which you expect or hope that something will happen soon. to remain in a state in which you expect or hope something will happen soon. Finally, some active qualities to waiting. I expect, I hope. When I think about waiting, I think about Ted Danson's character in The Good Place, who describes why there is frozen yogurt instead of ice cream in The Good Place. He says there's something so human about taking something great and ruining it a little so you can have more of it. The notion of waiting as passivity is like frozen yogurt. It's taking what can and should be an exciting season of hope and anticipating and just ruining it, making it more bland. So I'll take that third definition, thank you, where waiting is to remain in a state in which you expect or hope that something will happen soon. In fact, this is a very Christian understanding of waiting. We wait for Jesus with hope. We wait for the coming King with expectation, an eager and excited expectation that something, someone is going to happen, maybe even soon. This is not reclining in our armchair and falling asleep due to boredom, but it's leaning forward on the edge of our seats because we can't wait to see what God is going to do next. While the people are still waiting for Jesus, John the Baptist bursts on the scene and he calls people to an active kind of waiting. Might have jolted them out of their passivity a little bit. If you ever find yourself stuck by a people-pleasing tendency, consider taking a cue from John the Baptist. This guy wore a hair shirt. I don't think that was high fashion even in the first century. You can imagine his mother Elizabeth trying to get him to wear and eat something a little bit more respectable. But it was camel hair shirts and locusts and honey for John. John had one job and one job only, and that was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Even as the people were waiting, there was work to do. And how does he prepare the people? In the people's waiting for Jesus, in their expectation of Jesus, they need to get right with God. They need to get ready. They need to smooth out the roads of their hearts where Jesus would walk. John calls them to repentance, and he quotes from Isaiah 40, our reading today, which says, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And it says, "Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And now the mouth of the Lord is speaking through John the Baptist again. And Matthew's account, we heard Mark's account today, but Matthew's account puts these words on John's lips: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." John the Baptist, in calling people to repentance, he says, repent. He's calling them to a radical life change. That's anything but passive waiting. Repentance is a whole life change. When we repent, we turn away from our sin and helplessness, our helplessness to change on our own, and we turn towards something, someone better. We turn toward the new life that Jesus comes to bring us. Repentance is a change of the heart. It's a change of the mind. It's a changed life that bears good fruit to the glory of God. This is a whole lot more than just mindlessly scrolling through our phone while we wait at the doctor's office. John the Baptist helps us to see Advent as active. John shows us that waiting for Jesus means preparing for Jesus. And as John tells it, when Jesus is on the scene, things get intensely personal. John baptizes with water, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John calls people to repentance, but Jesus already knows what we need to repent of. John predicts the lifting up of valleys and the lowering of mountains that Isaiah saw, the leveling of uneven ground and the glory of God. And Jesus actually makes all of those things a reality. He makes them happen. Jesus wants to overturn the idols that we've set up. Jesus comes to fill us up where we're low, comes to humble us when we get too high. Jesus invites us to look at our own rough places and then promises to make them smooth. And Jesus brings his presence and his glory right into our worlds, even our secret inner lives that we're afraid to let anyone else access. That's where Jesus comes. Preparing for Jesus while we wait can be challenging. The gospel makes demands of us. Jesus lays a claim on our entire lives. But our turning to Jesus, our repentance, is made possible by the Holy Spirit that God has poured out in our hearts. We can love because he first loved us. We can repent because we know that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God for his lavish grace. And praise God for forgiving us and smoothing us out and lifting us up, drawing us near to him, coming near to us himself as we remember this Advent season. Corrie ten Boom once said, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Jesus will come again in glory, and Jesus Christ is born even in us, even in you and me today. That life inside of us, the life of Jesus, means that our waiting for his return is exciting and hopeful and even fun. I'm eager to see how Jesus is going to come again in glory, and I'm excited in the meantime to see how Jesus is going to show himself to me later today and tomorrow and this week, this year. And I'm on my seat's edge, leaning in with anticipation to see how Christ will shine his light on you this Advent season. I'm expectant when I think about how Christ is being born and will be born in us as a congregation in these coming weeks. If Jesus can flatten mountains and fill in valleys, surely he can change my heart. If Jesus can make rough places smooth, surely he can redeem and heal whole communities. That's exciting. I can do that kind of waiting. When we wait, we're being active. We're preparing. We're like the kids, or like my dad, who can't leave the presents alone under the Christmas tree. There's something in there, and they must be felt and shaken and smelled. I'm waiting to open them, yes, but I'm getting ready right now because I'm excited. I'm filled with hope. My waiting is not just doing nothing. One Advent hymn has these great lines: O promised one of Israel, by prophets long foretold, we wait in urgency and hope to see God's will foretold. We wait in urgency and hope. Hurry up and wait isn't quite the oxymoron that we were led to believe. I can't wait to wait for Jesus. There's urgency there. It's hard, and sometimes those long inward looks and the repentance that John calls us to, that Jesus calls us to, sometimes that's not very fun. But the work that Christ does in us as we surrender to him, that work makes any time of waiting worth it. We are hoping and even expecting that Christ will come to us even now. So with the hymn, we wait in urgency and hope to see God's will unfold. Amen.